Welcome to today's ramen break. I done it again, guys. Working too hard.
A ramen break.
A kimchi break. Ni hao. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Who do we have here? I hear Solbu. I'm going to get myself connected here so I can see who's here. It is the 5th of May, 2020.
It is. Yeah.
Great to see you guys. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Yeah, I just came inside. I was outside for a little while. It's actually a beautiful day over here in Western Mass.
Now, when was that photo taken that's behind you?
That was taken a few weeks ago. This is...
Okay.
We're just talking... You see the,
looks like that was
the
a
bright
nice day.
Light coming through... the bright light coming through our window. So it is a beautiful sunny day.
Good, man. I think it's a nice day here in Barrie too. Although I've been kind of like trapped inside all day. But I got a shipping notification today that the HDMI extenders that or repeaters that I had ordered that were not going to be here until a week or two away are going to be here today. So that's good.
Excellent.
I might actually be able to use the studio this week. That'd be nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got a notification that my washing machine is taking 5 days longer to deliver. They were going to deliver.
Oh, no. You got the opposite notice.
Next. Yeah. But only 4 more days, extra days. So.
Robert, Peter here.
Hey, Peter.
Buddy. About make one-off printed circuit board because I just talked to my supplier and he wouldn't do it for some reason. He said there was
yeah, you can. Yeah, I don't use anybody right now. Okay. Oh, do you know of anyone that does one-off prints of circuit PCBs?
Here in the U.S., yeah. JLB PCB here in the States does it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's one I've heard of. I haven't gotten into it yet.
PCB Way.
What are they called?
PCB Way.
W-A-Y. W-A-Y.
That's something I can't wait to start doing.
I haven't used them myself, but I've seen them advertised quite a bit.
PCB printing and 3D printing are two things that I'm really keen to learn and actually start doing, but I don't have the equipment to do it. So I like that there are companies that you can hire that, you know, like that you just send them the schematic and they'll print it for you.
Yeah.
I think the difference between them is to find one that also will solder the components to the board for you. If you don't want to have to do that yourself, unless, yeah, Peter, you may want to just do that.
PCBWAY.
That's what Ron was saying.
Yeah, okay, I really like that one. He said there's too much, not enough copper on it. I don't know what he's on about. So, anyway.
Cool, man. Yeah. What are you planning to print?
Part of the power supply, part of the regulator circuit that I designed. I don't want to do a variable, I want to look at it a bit more neater than normal, you know.
Well, hello, Rosemary.
That's actually Marika.
Oh, who is it?
It's Marika.
Usually, hi, Marika. Usually when hi. Someone comes in the room hello. And starts talking real loud, it's Rosemary.
Yes, Marika has some interesting news from last week.
Oh, yes?
Yes. She bought one of, I don't know if you've heard of the racehorse Seabiscuit.
What is it?
Horse.
The racehorse. The racehorse Seabiscuit. Yes.
Yes. I remember the Seabiscuit. Yeah.
Yes, and then Seabiscuit raced War Admiral in the big race. She bought a filly that is the descendant of Seabiscuit and War Admiral.
What?
Wow.
No way. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you ride?
I do, but I can't ride her yet because she's still too young.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. Hi, BP Nice.
Hello, Robbie.
The first time I heard about what we today call the 3D printing, I heard that 20 years ago. And it was...
I thought it was a thing out of sci-fi at that time.
Yeah, when I heard it
seemed like a sci-fi thing.
It was car dealers and car repair shops who were considered that there was an effort to try and instead of shipping small parts from one country to another, they were some big dealers were using metal printers where they printed metal parts that went to the engine. So
I think it's a great idea for like the Mars mission and stuff like that to use it to be able to print tools and. Well, what do you got there?
This is something. This is the biggest thing I have 3D printed so far. It is the top for a NAS server.
Beaut.
And
what are you printing? Are you printing that vertical, or how did you have to print that?
No,
it's huge.
It prints like that.
Yeah. Oh, you got a.
It would have to be horizontal
printer then.
Yeah, we do have a printer that'll do a 12-inch by 12-inch by 14-inch cube, so you could actually make a helmet out of it. But I've never printed anything that big.
Could you make me a Mandalorian costume for this Halloween?
About 3,000 hours, maybe.
Yeah. And what's the... Okay, and at $60 an hour.
One layer at a time.
Oh boy! Yeah,
it takes quite a while. So this takes about 10 hours to print this particular piece.
It looks like a really we're looking at it on a webcam or something, or on your phone. But it looks like it's a pretty smooth print, hey?
Well, the surface is smooth because that's what was on the build plate.
Oh,
but
okay.
The sides are layered, so I don't know.
So can you just give it a quick sand and? It's not
not a quicksand, but yeah, you can do surface treatment, but it's or you can just learn to love. Yes, that's what I meant to say. Yeah.
I think this is the closest we've ever gotten to replicator.
Yep.
I like that. It's we're going to call it the modern wood grain. The wood grain of the 2020s.
It has a lot of the same mechanical properties where it's stronger in one direction than in another. Wood.
So we could also say if you count the layers and you figure it takes 10 minutes per layer, we can actually determine the age of that print.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of cool because like these walls are 6 millimeter thick, but they're primarily hollow. There's infill, but
really,
is it like a honeycomb? Inside?
It's actually rectilinear. I find rectilinear is easier to print quickly and is just as supportive, easier on the printer. So rectilinear is where one layer it's doing 45 degrees in one direction and the other layer it does 45 degrees in the other direction and they just cross
Thank
each
you.
Other.
Sort I was going to ask, like a but I couldn't. I was going to ask. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I crashed out of Zoom. I don't know what happened, but it just suddenly said.
There's two of you.
Yeah, I see, but that clone is going away soon, I'm sure.
That's what it did to me just the other day.
Yeah. I mean, it just crashed right out of it. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't rejoin the meeting. I had to completely exit and then rejoin. So,
oh dear,
good fun.
Good to see y'all. Oh, I've got Solbu.
Good to see
you. We've got Bo Lechnowski. We've got Ron. We got Peter.
Hello.
And we got BP9 and his twin brother BP9.
So, Bo, is it bring your daughter to work day today?
No, she works here. She works in the shipping department, and she also just took over purchasing during the shutdown.
Hmm. Oh, cool. Very nice. Very nice.
Speaking of PCBs, we're also doing a project where we're assembling some circuit boards for a company that makes surgical robots.
Nice.
So that's
kind of thinking.
That's
there's a news story.
A little bit.
as long as it's voluntary. I mean, you don't want a surgical robot just showing up at your door and pushing you back into the house.
But uh-huh.
I was seeing some news this week about the new touch device. Have you guys seen that? The thing that you attach to your shoulder, and then it has a string for each finger in your wrist. Did you guys see that? We're
going to
be talking about it tomorrow on the show. It's a touch, a new way of doing touch in virtual reality. So when you touch an object, you actually feel it. So like a wall or a like product or something. But I was thinking, wouldn't that be neat if they could use that and allow like a medical professional to do surgery with a surgical robot? Like if they kind of adapted the technologies.
Well, as long as you get good feedback on the resistance of the object that you're touching.
Yeah, I don't think it's there
one
yet.
Thing, it's one thing to just get a blip if you're touching something, but if you tap something hard versus just tapping it softly.
Yeah, no, this is that's what's neat about that. I mean, there's not enough to it. Like it's like six strings, right? So when you touch something, so if there's a wall, I could feel that wall in that when I touch here, I feel a resistance. So I can feel like that. But I couldn't, like, it's not tactile. Like, I couldn't hold a pair of scissors or something like that in VR. But wouldn't that be neat? I mean, you think about the evolution of how quickly things move could result in something like that. So what's the board that you guys are working on, Bo?
Well, all we know is that it's going in a surgical robot.
That's it, eh?
That it's a control system. It has an Ethernet on it, and it has power connectors and MOSFETs. And
is it an SBC or
no? It's a discrete device. Mm-hmm. But somebody approached us and said, "Hey, we need to have some of these assembled. Can you do that?" And we're like, "Yeah, we've got all the equipment to do that." So
you guys have Droid in your name.
Yeah.
Does it need to operate in a sterile environment, like in the OR? So does it need to be sterilizable?
I'm not sure if this part actually is in the robot part of it or in the control part of it.
Okay.
But in either case, they're both in the operating room, so I'm sure they'll both go through a rigorous sterilization process.
Yeah, just be careful about little corners and crooks and nooks and crannies to make sure that you can get into those easily to clean them.
Yeah.
Or just in case.
Yeah, no, they gave us a whole list of requirements, so just have to follow up. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
That's really cool tech.
And it controls
the
robot?
Of things.
Yeah, so basically the surgeon's operating like some kind of control levers or something, and then the arms are mirroring that probably in a large motion on this end makes a very small motion on the other end where the robot is operating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm picturing it says cat on the side, and it's got one of those big scoops.
Yeah. Yeah, it may well do. What I mean, how far away is the surgeon from the actual device? I mean, outside the country, you're in the same room.
I know they've used surgical robots in Antarctica and other places where surgeons needed to operate on somebody, but they didn't have a surgeon on site. So I'm not sure if this is one of those telesurgery units or if it's just one like for brain surgeons where they're needing to make their motions very controlled.
You'd think one of the requirements would be, you know, rock solid internet. I was having a hard time believing
using DSL.
That Antarctica would have rock solid internet, you know. I just can't visualize that.
If it's a life and death situation, you work with what you've got.
Well, sure.
I wonder too, it's not a lot of data, right? It's like positional data. So
It's visual data coming back though, Robbie.
Or there's somebody on the radio that's explaining, but there has to be some kind of
a little to the left. No, don't stab there.
Yeah, exactly. The one word you don't want to hear.
I just performed brain surgery on your leg.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen quacks? Have you ever seen quacks?
No.
That is exactly what that show is.
And I don't want to minimize, you know, by joking about it, the seriousness of what they're doing. I mean, it is some pretty heavy duty stuff that they're doing with this telesurgery. So kudos to you both for helping out with that. Effort.
Mm-hmm. Great project.
Yeah,
I'd love to learn more as you go.
I think these are just prototypes, so these aren't actually going into finished units.
Well, still, you're doing your bit to help them out. Kudos to you, sir.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are going places, not too long ago,
you saw a video, didn't you? Yeah. It was a video you saw. I know.
It is.
You just don't want to say that anymore, do you? Because we're gonna jump on you for that.
I watched a talk where one of the code maintainers at NASA had a talk about. It is a few years ago now. One of the Voyager space probes. He has an uptime of at that time had an uptime of 15,000 days, and it's still up. Imagine the latency. They're sending a command and they have to wait until the next day or the next 2 days to figure out if the command worked.
Now, can you imagine writing a computer program that has to control this hardware? And the computer program cannot fail. Now, you know, it's one thing if
no pressure.
And it's one thing if you've got a program that runs at work or whatever on the mainframe or whatever. If it crashes, you call support and dial in and do what you got to do to fix it. But that's not going to be an option when you're a bazillion miles out in space.
You know what, BP9? You don't see a whole lot of robots powered by Microsoft Windows now, do you?
Oh, that's true. Oh, don't even go there, Robbie. Because there are plenty of ATMs that are run by Windows.
And we know that.
I've seen the blue screen of death.
Yeah.
I've seen it on the ATM screen.
Yep.
Yeah. But here's the point. The thing is, I'm sorry to interrupt, Solbu, but I wanted to point out that the pipe time, while nowhere near as critical, has a similar issue, right? Because what you have to do is implement things called watchdog timers so that if the thing gets in a loop or gets caught up or gets messed up somehow, this watchdog timer will just reset it to a known state and start again.
Mm.
So, and I suspect, Solbu, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I suspect they use a similar technique on that Voyager program too, right?
In addition to that, they have two completely independent systems that are mirroring each other.
Mm-hmm.
One of them have failed one or two times, and it has recovered because they have a function. It's a hardware function that if the unit stops responding, mm-hmm. then it it cuts the power and boots it back up.
So, there you go. Yep. As I say, that's the function of a watchdog timer there.
Like having the Pi Voyager on a Raspberry Pi.
Had the same functionality. My server had the same functionality. I found the user manual yesterday, and I looked at it or 2 days ago. And one function it has it if you there's a driver you can install, and then there is a function it's a timer that you have can enable in the hardware that it will ping run a ping something, and if it doesn't get a response in a configurable time, then it will hard reset the server in order to boot it up.
Mm-hmm. So. Did you hear about the one about the Finnish radar in Finland about 1990, I think, roughly? They were listening to the Russians with sonar, and they started hearing all these funny clicks up the top near the Soviet border, and they got quite a bit agitated about it all because they thought the Russians were coming to attack them. And you know, it's what they just all bought. And some guy come in who was something to do with the fishery said, oh, that's something, that's just herring singing to each other. And they're about to pull to the red light or something to cause World War III. So that's why the Russians they made a mistake. And the other one I remember was when I was working for a company in England, and they using BBC computers to send data from a place in London. Actually, we had to go there, and when we went there, with all these police cars going up the hill. It was Primrose Hill, and there was all these police cars up there, and we couldn't work out why they were going this garden, digging up this guy's garden. Anyway, when we came back, we discovered it was Boy George who was looking for drugs. But the thing was, my boss put the phone number in, I put the wrong number in. He used to keep ringing this woman up, and I had to talk to the woman and apologize very much, saying, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. We were going right to rectify as soon as possible. Yeah. You know, because he rung the wrong number. I think the last digit was wrong, down to 6 instead of 7 or something. And he was giving her up.
I hate it when that happens.
We had a news story in Nova Share a border with Russia in the far north, they were doing a documentary about the Norwegian defense forces and the state of the forces, and they interviewed one of the guys who are manning one of the, at the military post close to the border. And he was asked, "What are they planning to do if the Russians seriously did come across the border in order to take the northern Norway?" And he said that the current plans is to phone the bosses up the chain down in our capital, and then put the kettle on. That was the plan. There was not much they can do. If the Russians really came, they had nothing to do other than.
Well, Solbu, once again, Solbu, you just bring in the disaster scenario, don't you? you're so good at that, right? The Russians are coming. They're going to invade Norway. That's pretty scary. That's pretty scary.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But again, Norway is one of the two countries that the Russians actually pulled out of. They came to help us during the Second World War and when the war was over. And then they helped us to get the society together, and then they pulled out.
I think that's something called the Quisling in Norway. Who just supported the Germans. I suppose you don't talk about that one.
Well, gents, I got a big couple days ahead. Got to be ready for tomorrow's show. Hope you guys are able to make it tomorrow night.
Time flies, man.
I know.
Flies.
I know, dude. Yeah. And I got a. I was mentioning just before you arrived, BP9, the HDMI repeaters are meant to actually arrive today.
Oh, boy. So
I might actually be able to, if I can get enough time. Oh, I wish I could just have a week off of work. Like, just
what you should do,
get things
what
set
you
up.
Should do is get yourself set up in the producer's room, hook up the cameras with the HDMI couplers, and put the camera in the studio, just point it to the wall, say, that's the show.
And we're done. Just film myself putting connecting everything, and that's it. That's all you get.
As you're connecting everything, just do it as a tutorial.
Yes.
There you go.
This HDMI cable goes here. This one goes there. Yeah.
Yep.
I also one of the things I ordered today.
And then the breakers pop, and then the whole thing just shuts down.
No, not going to happen. BP9, stop that. I never want to have that happen.
Fire TV, how to run the TV studio.
The tough thing, if we ever did trip a breaker, is that I'm only there after hours.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Like, they close the office and lock up the mall, so there's nobody there to flip the breaker back until the next day.
So it's just so funny. You call it the mall. I just keep thinking of a shopping mall when you say that.
Yeah, I do too.
But I'm sure that's not what the setup is.
No, I don't know what you would call it then. It's 120,000 square feet of offices. So
an office complex is what I would call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that makes me think of like a skyrise or something that has, you know what I mean? Like you walk in and you've got an elevator that takes you to floor 3 to get to where you're going. No, this is a massive, like a mall, but offices instead of retail.
Well, that's the key, right? I mean, that's the key point, that it's all offices. That's what makes me think office complex. It doesn't have to be for the same company, and it doesn't have to be high rise to still be an office.
It's an office mall. Why not? We can make up things. It's best just to say we've got 120,000 square feet at our new studio. How's that?
Wow. That's impressive.
Won't mention that only 490 of that is mine.
Yeah. That's okay. That's all right. Microsoft does that all the time. It's not a big deal.
I know we're closing, but speaking of offices, a friend of mine worked in the kitchen at a restaurant in Trondheim. The name of the restaurant was The Office. So, he heard a lot of customers
comments from the movie and all. Right.
Yeah, they
meet you at the office.
Yeah,
it was long before for the TV series, but he had he overheard often people who were coming in and having a good time, and then the phone rang. And then they said that they were in the office, and he could clearly hear that they were not supposed to be in that restaurant.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to go check on dinner because I literally an hour ago put the slow cooker on with a big old chuck roast with a bunch of veggies in there. So that's going to be my dinner tonight. And probably for the next 3 or 4 days, just because, you know, I went to the grocery store, did a vegetable, you know, fresh veggie run, and picked up a nice pot roast at the same time and threw that in the slow cooker. It should be yummy. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I'm craving a pot roast.
Okay.
Well, guys.
It's all yours, man.
I'm on my way. I'll see you. Come pick me up. You got your plane?
Is it back yet? it just went in. So, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. All right. All right. We'll see you guys. Have a great afternoon. I'll see you tomorrow for coffee break. And then don't forget, tomorrow's the show as well.
Yay.
Take it easy.
Right. You'll be good. You'll be fine, Robbie. Don't worry. Yeah. You'll be fine.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fun.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.